do it. Come on. That wasn't very loud.
Oh, that's fine.
That was not loud at all. I'm going to do it again. Hold on a second.
Podcasting from the Sportique Studios, where everyone's enjoying the reboot of Tebow season. This is the South Stands Denver Fancast.
Yeah!
I'm Colin Daniels with producer Scott Stafford, the CEO himself, the founder of All City Sports Network and DNVR, Brandon.
Let's fucking go! Let's go!
And your host, John Breeden!
Heyo! Heyo! Hell yeah! Yeah, we're rocking now. Bring it back. Bring it back. Yes, sir. South Stands Denver Fancast.
Ow!
I need to fix this mic. It's all jacked
up. Yeah, that thing's falling apart.
Yeah, I got to fix that. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Welcome to the show, everybody. Show 303.
Is it really?
It is.
Pretty cool.
303.
What I'm about fucking that? Show 303.
Brandon, yeah. You are here on show 303. I find that appropriate.
Wow.
Brandon Spano,
wow.
Welcome back. Amazing. To the friendly confines. It's been a while. We haven't done this in a while. But it's great to have you back. You've been on seven times
yeah,
over the years?
Yeah, a lot of times. I think my first show was at the old
Inglewood
Teak.
At the Inglewood location,
South Broadway. And I remember the shit we said on that is like, we would all like lose our... All
that
jobs.
Show, that, we got a lot.
Like, Colin's business would be closed if that was posted now. Right.
I don't think
like
it
you
was...
would have been ran out of your own fucking family business during that show.
It was a little rough around the edges.
It was. The greatest part about it always, though, is whenever you came on, Brandon, you actually had a show at the same exact time. You would skip your own show to come onto
right.
our show.
It was like, fuck the Brandon Spanish show.
But you would.
And I mean, what was that? I mean, I had to have been 30 years old, 20, 31,
yeah,
29. I mean, what was that, 12 years ago? 13?
Oh, yeah,
something
12,
like that.
Yeah,
like
12, I
like,
think.
Yeah, 12.
I remember getting into 12. My car and listening to Honey Bear, you know, as we were driving back. Remember good old Zach Fox? Remember that guy?
Yep. And you would
ago.
Race down Broadway to get to the show.
Yeah, it's race down Broadway to get to the show.
Just like you would race down the hallway to get to your own show.
Yeah, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Hey, a lot's changed. And I was thinking about that. And when we had D-Mac in here, and I was thinking of you too, D-Mac maybe got in a little more trouble. But everyone's come on here and done something kind of outrageous. You get in the spirit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's generally involved.
Oh, boy.
It's generally involved making fun. I'm going to bring up specifics, but it's generally been involved making fun of other people. Kind of dumping on some people who are shitheads,
right,
whatever.
That's right.
And D-Mac didn't really remember it. He didn't quite remember it. So I just thought, a lot's changed. Can you come on? You're like, okay, I'm not going to take apart some local asshole, unless you want to, of course.
Cliff.
Yeah, if you want to, go ahead. Please, but I understand if you don't if you've maybe grown beyond that need to attack if you did back then.
No, I definitely am not attacking anybody. Now, if you ask me about any particular person that just like, you know,
okay, Mike Kliss.
Oh, I don't care about Mike Kliss. I mean, we're to the point now. There's like these old institutions inside of cities that are, you know, working for cable TV and are, you know, feeding our grandparents information every night. There's no reason to hate on them.
Sure.
You know, like nobody knows who, nobody under 30 knows who the fuck Mike Kliss is. There's no reason to hate on him now. He's surviving. He's kind of holding on to his last gig at the local news station. You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah,
like,
it's almost like God bless him at this point.
Yeah,
no,
totally. Yeah, like, let him do his thing. Let him do his thing here. Yeah.
That's fine. And everybody always just has nice things to say about him. I just think his online presence is that of like maybe a confused grandpa who's lashing out. It's like, it's kind of like he's doing things that like you go, God, that's just inexplicable. But maybe it's by design. I have no idea. But the fact that you say nobody in her 30 knows who he is, I think he's a fixture on Twitter. I think people pay attention to him because he says some dumb shit. So do you really think like there's
well,
some people
no,
that are
I mean,
like
listen, if you're on Twitter, you know, there's like a certain segment of sports fans that are on Twitter and they're like diehard fans. A lot of them I consider, what you would call like
they're DNVR people.
Well, like an identity. Well, what we do, all of our networks really go in with the whole, you know, you want the community leaders in every city, really, and it starts with Twitter, right? And then it could move to YouTube and some
it sure isn't as good as it used to be. The engagement on Twitter used to be so much better. There are so many people that don't want to be a part of it anymore because of Elon Musk. They want to avoid being associated with him, so they're not there anymore. I really miss the engagement. It was so great.
It's not really because of Elon. It's because of what he's done to the platform.
Largely, but also people just don't want to support him. They don't want to be a part of something he's a part of.
It's changed, though. Don't you think it's changed from 10 years ago, Brandon? Like, it's the interaction seems to have changed a little bit. It seems like now, yes, you still get information and people providing information, but I guess what Colin's getting at is that community has kind of fragmented.
Dude, I could do a tweet up at Viewhouse Littleton and have 30 people show up.
Well, maybe it's you that's become unpopular.
Probably.
Have you thought about
Probably so.
Well, you kind of went away for a while.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Like, I really don't tweet much either. I can't just pull like like our guys can in different cities and whatever, and especially here in Denver, of course. But yeah, I mean, there's still Twitter's still incredibly strong for us. I think YouTube's like much stronger, and it's almost like a social, platform itself. But I mean, I just think that overall, the fans who want to know everything up to the minute all the time, and that's still like their,
I said before,
I call them like identity. Like they live inside of an identity network, right? They identify as a sports fan. It's one of their things. It's like Juan, Catholic, proud father of two,
Broncos fan. Yeah.
Those are his four. Right. And like on Sunday, Broncos might jump a couple of those.
Sure.
Right. And so he's going to be on Twitter no matter, even if fucking Colin owns it and he, whatever.
Free Palestine.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to be on. And so I think like the majority of those fans are still on. And what it really hurts us if it's a bad platform. Right. Because right now Threads still isn't big enough for you to transfer your resources and your effort there.
Oh, screw that.
It feels like a bad platform, but the monetization that would happen to YouTube with YouTube essentially, right? So you're able to monetize with YouTube. So you're essentially using how do you monetize? Can you monetize with Twitter, or is it using Twitter to get people to YouTube?
Well, you can now.
That's the idea long term anyway.
Yeah, the CPMs on video are on YouTube are actually larger than they are on YouTube right now. The problem with YouTube, the problem with Twitter rather, is that the engagement is so low, right? So, you might see like Tucker Carlson puts the show up weekly and you see it from that's what Twitter's bragging about, all the X is bragging about all the time. Look at how many he got. You should bring your show here. But I would love to look at that data and say how many people are watching more than 5 minutes of that on their timeline.
Those numbers are fudged. Come on.
I mean, even if they're real, they may be real. He has a huge following, but how, what's the average view time on that? Is it 1 minute minute and 18 seconds. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's probably what it is. It's something like that. And so those numbers don't matter, right? Whereas if I would much rather have like a small audience that's really deep and I bring them over to YouTube and they sit with me for an hour, right? And my average YouTube view is 26 minutes per view, right? Or something like that, which we have shows that run that higher. And like, we're able to bring them into the community and culture there and spend time with them, you know?
And that was kind of the same approach back when you were at Mile High Sports, and Mile High Sports' heyday with the brokered shows is it wasn't necessarily the size of the audience. It was the devotion of the audience.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Let me cut to the chase here. You're an entrepreneur. You're a mover and a shaker. What do you think about Musk?
Okay, so...
We had Adam on, and Adam drives a Tesla, and he was saying, I know you guys don't like Musk, but blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, all these guys who are in this business and they're moving forward doing this, they got to love Musk. But I want to find out what Brandon thinks. What's your honest opinion of him? Now, just lay it all out for me.
Okay, here's what I think of Musk. First off, I think everyone should read his biography. And it's done by a journalist, and it's extremely unbiased, and it's the same guy who did Jobs. You know, there's some probably pretty embarrassing stuff for the people he wrote it on in there. You know, whether it was Jobs or Musk or whatever. So I just start with that because it's a really good insight into the way that he thinks and the way that he is. And so I think that you just have a better understanding of expectations and the way that somebody operates that way. So I just say that because I think that like my opinion comes from that as the foundation. And then like as far as like my actual like knee-jerk opinion on Musk is that he's another guy who I think if you sit down with is really thoughtful and intelligent and is trying to do really important things and has done some incredible things. But then when you leave him to his own devices and you give him a platform, he's an absolute shithead. And this is a lot of these guys, right? Whether it's Jordan Peterson or it's Elon Musk. And it's like, you can listen to these guys and say, wow, this makes a lot of sense. It's really powerful. Then you go follow him on Twitter and you're like, what the fuck? This guy's a fucking idiot, you know? And there's a thing like that, right? And Musk is like that guy. But at the end of the day, like Musk has done some really incredible things. And like, listen, he's going to have five businesses that are worth over $1 billion. There's no amount of, let me just say this, like, and this doesn't matter to some people, and that's totally cool. I respect that. To me, it matters because I know how hard this is. To create a business that is worth $1 billion is fucking unbelievable. The fact that it could potentially change an industry or solve a major problem and do it at the same time is even more unbelievable. If you could also add that into maybe saving some section or, you know, creating more longevity for humanity, even more amazing. And to have like 3, 4, 5 of those is just, it's fucking, it's beyond like combine Wayne Gretzky and Jerry Rice and how unrealistic it is for everyone to do that. And then like, that is like those times fucking 10,000.
I think I agree. I think he's done some amazing stuff, but then there's something like changing one of the most recognizable brands in the world.
We called it Twitter until you said X at some point.
Right, right, right.
I mean, how are you going to go? What you bought was that cute little blue bird, that iconic logo and the name. You bought that and then you threw it.
Well,
and
this was my biggest worry when Elon took over Twitter or bought Twitter was that essentially I had told the team, like, Elon is treating this like a startup. He got rid of everybody. They were doing live testing, which is like something we would do back in like 2017, right? Hey, let's see if this works. Turn it on. Oh, fuck, it crashed the site. Put a thing out on Twitter. Site will be up soon. Put it back on. Test it again. Everyone hated it. Oh, fucking take that off. People are trashing us for this. Okay, that didn't work. Or it did work. Oh, it's selling. Let's do more of this, you know? Like, and that's like super early, we have no money startup shit. He was doing that and still does a little bit of it now. He is a really good CEO, but like there's still, I mean, in what that showed me is like, okay, he's not taking this seriously. He's not live testing at fucking SpaceX, right? They're not going out and saying if it works, cool, if it doesn't, at Tesla, right?
Except with the self-driving cars that crash into people.
that's a little more expensive mistakes than crashing the site, right?
That, well, I mean, listen, we could get into that. Sure. There's a whole bunch of stuff we could get into, right?
Well, I just wanted to say that it's a scoreboard thing. You say, hey, scoreboard, and you're like, Rich, I'm Rich. But is it
totally?
But I agree. People can fail upwards. People can fail upwards.
Well, I agree.
Can't they?
I agree. And I guess what I'm getting at is like it doesn't seem like he necessarily takes Twitter seriously, right? And maybe takes it seriously, but just not as serious as some of these other things, because you're right. I mean, a lot of this stuff is really, really questionable, and it hurts. You know, it hurts us. It hurts my business. Sure. You know,
yeah. It was a valuable resource.
It
built this.
It was more, I think, for him. It was more like, I'm going to get on here and everyone's going to love me, and I can try to be funny. And it was like that was his only interest, and he didn't really care too much.
I think
he
thought it was a great idea, and then didn't, wanted to get out of it, and the board said,
and then, nope
you're going to buy it.
So. Well, we blew through the first quarter already.
Maybe you did.
Yeah, I definitely did. Let's regroup.
Well, hold on a second. Okay, you liked the old Twitter way. We all loved the old Twitter way. Now that you find out, though, about a lot of the stuff from the background of it between, you know, like whatever, right? You can go down to any rabbit hole, conspiracy, not conspiracy, whatever. But when you consume the theories, right, whether that's shadow banning or pretty much a government controlled Twitter or
Shit happened.
Right. OK, right. Well, I'm just listen. I, there's people out there that are going to watch this that are going to, you know, because of whatever side it lies, because of the side it lies on, they're not ever going to believe that happened. So I'm not going to be the one that goes, I try to walk the fence on this, but knowing that, so
that's why he bought it.
Okay. So then now are you more on the side of that then? And it's kind of understanding of it.
Oh, I get that. Okay. Just don't change the fucking name and make people pay to be a member of it. It's fucking stupid.
Exactly.
We could get into like monetization methods of Twitter. What's the best way? Because you know, the thing was
that's a fascinating,
I mean, it was
topic.
The biggest fucking failure in social media, and that's not like a, well, this is a little hyperbole. No. This thing was an absolute fucking turd.
the blue check thing?
No. Like
it didn't make money.
The financial model of Twitter.
Yeah.
The answer to that is you charge brands. Don't charge individuals. Charge brands. If Nabisco wants to be on there, right. If fucking Moon Pies
wants to be on
there.
So like when I'm building all these team communities and all this stuff, we're pumping story, we're getting, like, charge me is what you're saying. Like, which I'm fine. I agree. Like, I've actually thought about before.
Sure.
Like, you know, like keep the people happy on Twitter, using it all the time and stuff. Like,
and charge brands to influence them.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey,
and you get to the top of the list.
Speaking of brands, we gotta pump our brands in this break, right? We're gonna get into the second quarter here. We'll reset. We got plenty to talk about. We barely scratched the surface. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The return of the South Stands Denver Fancast is fueled by Cochino Taco, with locations in Old Town Arvada, Edgewater Marketplace, and on South Downing Street in Inglewood. Featuring mouth-watering Mexico City-style street tacos, unbelievable appetizers, burritos, enchilada, and the famous queso burger, topped with American cheese, poblano chili, jalapeno crema, fried jalapenos, and delectable melty queso. Let's not forget the best margaritas in town. And happy hour from 11 to 6 every single day. Tell them the South Stand sent you and ask for your crunchy beef tacos, Shaggy style.
It's the questions. What? It's the questions, boy. It's the questions. What? It's the questions. Come on. The questions. What? It's the questions, boy. It's the questions.
Is Taylor Swift really so damn famous that her famousness makes Travis Kelce's ugly mom famous? Fat and ugly as she is, how is she still more comfortable to look at than that bitch Brittany Mahomes?
Oh, my.
Will the CU Buffs football team debut more fancy uniforms this season than they will have wins? for Nuggets fans is everyday Thanksgiving, so long as Nikola Jokic walks this earth.
Hells yeah.
Is the talent strategy at 104.3 The Fan to pair former Mile High sports hosts with washed up former Broncos? Has anybody else noticed that you never see Sean Payton and the Grinch Who Stole Christmas in the same place at the same time?
Oh, they do look alike a lot.
Is Kareem Jackson's favorite Thanksgiving dish asparagus spears? Is his favorite gum spearmint? Is his favorite Britney Spears? When will Vikings quarterback Josh Dobbs be finished with his chemotherapy? And is Will Smith going to slap me for that joke?
Oh, my God.
What abbreviation will Brandon Spano really come up with for New York City? You have questions. We have answers. SouthStandsDenver.com, Colorado's finest internet sports talk since 1971. Through the hood looking
for a corpse, Draco hitting. How do you even know who Griselda? I whip the fish up with a fucking
hanger or fork. Told that bitch, go ahead, sniff what you want. My only goal is to make Spano Bob his head. That's it.
Why do you think he's the producer? Myself in, rocking Louis
and all my jewelry. I bought a good man. He knows what he's doing. Cop put me over
and my imported Porsche. He's waiting for your flow. You want to put it out, Spano?
My niggas dropping bodies for anyone. Freestyle if you want. Go ahead, Colin.
Yo, I got chopped in the league.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to hear that. Or extort. I'm the machine. I fuck bitches you can't afford to court. Y'all clout chasing every verse. I was gonna say about Kareem Jackson.
There is a dirty player. So I watched that hit on Josh Dobbs in slow motion. I was just like, oh my fucking God.
He's
running the ball. He's running the ball up the middle. You're gonna get popped.
Dude, he's just flying with his helmet.
He's a fucking hard hitting guy.
He was like a Vikings fan, but he said anytime Kareem Jackson sees someone with the with the ball, and it showed Ralph Wiggum flying through that window with his head first.
I saw
that. I was like, that's exactly the guy just got off suspension.
I know, he can't help himself.
That was against a defenseless receiver, which is like a potential penalty.
Sure,
but if you're in his, you're like, okay, yeah. So I can't do that. But if you're running the ball, like, there's no rules on where
you still can't throw your helmet at a guy
if you're running.
He's helmet first. Now, granted, I think he kind of hit him in the shoulder, but he's just helmet first, and he just came back from suspension. They're gonna go.
You want to know what's bullshit? Let me tell you what's bullshit. A fucking running back running through the middle of a fucking defense straight up at a 90-degree angle, knowing that he can't get fucking hit because it's illegal. That's bullshit. That is bullshit. That would never happen in any level of football. Let me tell you, in football, starting quarterbacks aren't even allowed to get hit in practice. You're not allowed to hit them. You're not allowed to fucking hit them. They wear different jerseys. In the preseason, they don't play them. And now we're to the point with the rules where you have a starting fucking quarterbacks that are running through the middle and literally getting hit by two or three guys head down. And when the safety comes and fucking levels him, then he gets suspended. Like, that is the repercussions. Tell him to fucking slide.
He knocked that guy's eyebrows clean off.
Wait, hold on a second here. I'm very happy for Brandon Spano's success, but man, I miss your radio show.
God. I like that. All I'm saying is, if you're already like in trouble with your wife, you don't tell her you're going to Vegas next weekend, right? You don't say, hey, by the way, I'm going. So you just take it easy. You maybe turn your shoulder a bit. You put your hands up. You just don't go for it like that. But anyway, I thought that little Ralph Wiggum thing was very funny. Switching gears, because we'll talk some Broncos later, won't we, Colin?
Oh, yeah, I think we're going to kick that can down.
Yeah, we're going to talk some Broncos a little later in the show. But Brandon, I want to talk about haters. Can we talk about haters real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. There was some point, some snide motherfucker said something about, oh, well, yeah, if you want to make t-shirts or whatever, blah, blah, blah. It was a comment about DNVR. And you guys have some t-shirts and everything, but you also have some top-notch reporting and covering these teams. Do you get a little, you don't have to admit it, do you get a perverse satisfaction knowing that that asshole who said that is in a dying industry and your industry is thriving?
Yeah, I mean,
are you dancing on graves or are you taking the high road?
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely, for me, I'm not dancing on any graves because
I don't know when mine is. Of right. And so I don't want anyone dancing on mine. And this is so fucking hard that like the like here's the thing about me that's different than everybody else. And this is what people don't understand. If this crashes, if this burns, if this for whatever reason there's a change in the dynamics of the way that people, you know, consume or ads or memberships or whatever the fuck it is, right? If things change and my business model fails, then we go out of business, right? Which hey, like, I mean, I'm not saying we're on the brink of
shit
going out,
happens.
But right. I mean, it's business, right?
Businesses go out of business.
Businesses go out of business. And coaches
what I,
get
what
fired.
I know about you is you'll have another fucking business if that happens. Coaches, you're just that guy.
Coaches get fired. Businesses go out of business, right? I mean, who knows? And guess what? If that ever happens, who's the fucking clown? It's not Adam. It's not Ryan. It's not Allie. It's sure. not Eric. It's not the guys. It's not Jake Flanagan in Chicago. It's not Saul Bookman and Espo in Phoenix. It's not, you know, it's not Anthony Gargano in Philadelphia. Right?
That's a Philly name.
Right? It's not.
Shout out Gargano.
You know, it's not John Riskin or VP of Revenue. It's not these people that are really important. I'm mentioning like really important people to the business, right?
Of course.
And so, but it's not them. They are like, man. Fucking heard Brandon really.
Dude,
fucking,
when we were at your,
I'm the fucking clown, right? So what I don't want to do is create this animosity where I'm always talking about we're next, you're dead. This is, and then all
for
of a sudden,
sure.
like we have problems or we have to make some budget cuts because you know. The model changes and right. That's what happens in business, right? You have to make some cuts more. And then people are now like, I've created all of this stuff and I've talked all this shit and now it comes back.
But
at me.
You know, the line I'm talking about, correct? You remember what I'm talking
totally,
about?
Totally.
Okay.
Totally,
you remember yeah. and you file that one away, right? You filed it away at least, right?
To, I mean, listen,
it's like
we,
Tom Brady, not getting drafted.
Listen. No,
we do it. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. And you should see what happens in the new markets. People say stuff and I do. I always file it away.
In life, you shouldn't dance on graves. You should just keep moving forward because you never know. What's the line like? You, on your way up, you got to be nice to people on your way up because you don't know if you'll who you'll see coming back now.
Right.
Obviously, but filing it away because you
motivation.
Know, it's motivation, right? And you know that there's people out there that are probably like, oh yeah, this is fucking bullshit. They're just selling t-shirts. When you actually made something that's way more credible than like the fucking Denver Post.
When we were at your launch party that you held down south at that, I don't remember.
Oh, here
the
it comes. This
that.
Is a mea culpa time, right?
Jackson's.
That's right. You had a laptop or several actually on display so people could look at the site. And I'm looking for banner ads. Where's the advertising? And then you said subscription. And I went, oh, Jesus Christ. Does Brandon really fucking think people are going to sign up and pay monthly to sign up for this fucking website? Oh, my God, this is ridiculous. Couldn't have been more wrong. I'm a Lifetime member. I bought during COVID because you had just partnered with the bar and,
yeah,
you know,
no,
it was
that
a fucking,
helped, I mean, the community kept us alive for that.
Dude,
for sure.
It was a fucking scary time for everybody. Believe me.
Super scary.
Super scary. But the bar, what an experience. It really is. And I said this to you the other day on Twitter. It is the next best thing to being in the stands at the game. It is so much fun. I watched the Chiefs game there and the Bills game there. During the Bills game, I've got Ryan and Allie sitting at the table right behind me, communing with devoted Broncos fans. People are walking up and down between tables, slapping high five and hugging each other. I hug total strangers.
Yeah, yeah.
And during the Chiefs game, the Nuggets were playing and the Avs were playing. It was this confluence of Denver sports. It was magic. It was absolutely magic. It was like the fucking Disney World of Denver sports. And it's just so cool that it came together the way that it did. And I'm sure your partner in that bar is over the fucking moon about the traffic that he's getting. And people drinking and ordering food and just bop, 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 place was packed. and just rock.
There's
it.
Nothing like that, right? Can you think of anything else in the country where there's a news source, a sports news source associated with a actual establishment?
Yeah,
right?
there really isn't.
Other than like ESPN?
Barstool has bars. They're very okay. different, though. They're very different. They're very detached from the brand. They doesn't feel it's yeah, not yeah, the yeah. same unless they bring in talent or personalities, for a weekend or whatever. So you're right. This is really unique, and it's really amazing, right? And that's exactly what I always say too. It's like it's always a home game, right? Even if it's an away game, it's like it feels sure. like a home game there, and it's incredible. Some of my best, core memories at this point now are at that bar, and so are a lot of other people's. And you're right, it's really an incredible thing. And that was the bar is really a culmination of a lot of people's, efforts and, thoughts.
The vision behind it is brilliant. Do you plan on, in the other markets where All City Sports is setting up or has set up, trying to duplicate that model?
It just depends. The truth is that owning a bar, having a bar, is it's
a big pain in the ass.
Fucking brutal. So it's really cool. Now it's really cool. You have this online digital brand and it comes to life. Right when you walk in the door, and it's the same branding, and Eric was just brilliant on the way that the wraps and everything is set up.
Oh,
there.
D-Line Co. does an amazing job.
He's the best fucking brand man in sports, and all that stuff is really incredible. And so it's worth it. But outside of that, you really got to nail the partner. My wife has done an incredible job of keeping her hand on that bar, making sure that it operates correctly, and that it's got the right staff, and that it's that there's just, she's the direct communication with the bar partner. The way that bar ownership is actually set up, not a lot of people know this, is there's an LLC that owns that bar. And that LLC is owned by, maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't think it fucking matters. You guys look, I'm curious. I'm on the edge of my seat. So there's a bar partner, and then
Saudi Arabia,
and that's the people who were operating it before you came in, right? The people.
Nope. We have a new bar partner. So this LLC is owned partially by, Allie Monroy and Lindsay, my wife and Allie Monroy, of course. And then, there's a bigger portion that is owned by the bar partner. That LLC that they have a joint ownership of owns the bar. Right. And then the way that works is essentially there is a license fee that is given to us monthly, or quarterly, depending on the season, based on sales. And so, essentially,
what I've spent alone, because you could put tires on your car.
That's fascinating, because anybody that's been there probably has wondered, how does this work? So it's good. It's good to get a little insight.
Because All City or any, ownership members of All City, specifically like me or Ryan, we can't own the bar, and All City can't own the bar. So that is kind of our way to have at least someone affiliated inside of All City that had the best interest there to own, a portion of the bar.
Is there, and we're going to get into the second half soon. Not quite yet. This is kind of an open-ended question. It might take a bit. Is Denver one of those things, and obviously it started here, where it was kind of ready-made for this, and obviously having the bar helps, whereas Phoenix or Chicago, you've got all these talented people working, but you don't have maybe that same, I don't want to say the same fan base. They got great fans in all those cities. But when you have the bar, it kind of has a focal point where those other cities don't. Is that an issue for them? Or are they still able to build audiences? The guys who cover the Blackhawks for your Chicago one, are they able to have that same type of thing where here people can go watch the Avs play and they can see AJ up there doing a show, right? It has kind of a cool thing to see people doing the show after the game. Is it a little more difficult for them? Obviously, it probably is. But what's the challenge for them to build more of an audience when you have the advantage of the bar?
Well, there's a difference between building an audience and then building a community that's really engaged all the time. And that second part just takes time. There's no business practice or way that you can speed that up.
Sure.
Now, we have a model that if you hire the right people and they get on board and do what they're supposed to do, that that's a function that will happen, because we essentially deliver a 24/7 touch point, right? So I always joke that, like, Colin Daniels could wake up in the morning and look at his phone and check DNVR and read Harrison Wynn's most, recent Nugget story. And then his wife can come in and say, hey, you're supposed to be at the shop at 9:30. You're running late. He could get in the shower and listen to the last night's post game show while he's in the shower. And then he can get out. He can put his DNVR Nuggets shirt on when he gets out of the shower. He can get in his car, listen to the rest of the podcast. When he gets to the shop, he can fire up Discord because he's a diehard member and hang out with Nuggets fans in Discord. At noon, he can go and watch the Broncos show live and then hang out on Twitter and fuck around with Brendan Vogt on DNVR Nuggets. And then after work, he can go to the DNVR bar and watch the game. And then he can go home and watch the post game show on his smart TV on YouTube. And he could do an entire day full of the All City Sports lifestyle. And that's what we're trying to deliver to every fan.
Community. He's nailed Collins Day, except for the constant master. Other than that,
I can only get it done twice now. I'm getting older.
Right. That's understandable. No, that's good stuff.
So the more people that are living that, then if you have an event, sure, or you have a bar, then they're going to want to hang out there.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, there are some places that you could do. I think Chicago probably could do a bar. Philly's looking like it could probably do a bar pretty quickly.
Yes.
There are things like that for sure.
Real quick, and I know we got to get into the halftime, but what other cities are on tap? What's coming? Does it have to be a four-sport city?
Omaha, baby. Omaha.
No, it doesn't have to be a four-sport town. I think that we're trying to, first off, the goal here is to do every sports town in America, right? That's the goal here, okay? So sure. The goal is to create a really important local sports network in every city in America. Now, you're going to pick the best one. You're going to pick the most strategic, kind of early, the ones
Chicago,
that can have earliest
Chicago
success.
Made a lot of sense.
So sure. There's a reason and a story behind every single one of these. But to answer your question directly, I love Boston, I love Detroit, and I love and I love Cleveland. I think those are the three that are
Cleveland
kind of on the docket.
This shit up.
So there's strengths and weaknesses to all those that we don't need to get into. But yeah. So
Cleveland's a lot like here in that they are rabidly loyal. Cleveland.
They really are. One of the things that's really interesting is that Erica, you guys know my D-line, of course, he actually really was able to see and understand a sports culture and community in Cleveland that didn't exist in Denver. And he actually had thought, hey, and I hope I'm getting the story right, because I'm sure he'll tell me if I'm speaking for him on a podcast. But one of the cool things that they had there was they had this t-shirt culture there. And there was all these creative artists that would do things about Cleveland sports and stuff. And he was like, fucking Cleveland, why can't we have this in Denver? It's a much deeper story than that. I mean, there's this him adapting this Japanese art style at some point, spending time in design in Boston, and there's a whole story behind Eric. We could do a podcast on him. A really fascinating guy.
He's an ambassador at the bar, by the way. He's always there shaking hands.
I mean the bar. if there's a thing in the bar, he approved it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you're like, who? Oh, he said that rap should be. This is where he wanted fucking jerseys, right? I mean, the wraps on the pillars, like that's Eric, right? If there's a painting, a certain color of painting, like. He said, yeah, okay, that's okay.
He's got incredible design aesthetics. He's awesome. We should have him on the show.
We should. We gotta get into the second half. I have plenty more questions about this, including competition between the cities. And we're gonna get into that in the second half. But let's take a quick break. We'll get into the second half. We'll do a little sports. Maybe we'll do some Spano's greatest hits. How about that? Maybe when we come back. So let's take a quick break, be right back. Me in the streets without a ton of reefer. That's like Malcolm X
catching a jungle fever. King poetic, too much flavor, I'm major. Atlanta ain't braver, I pull a number like a pager. Cause I'm an ace when I face the base. 40 side is the place that is giving me grace. Now wait, another dose, say you might be dead. And I'm a Nike head, I wear chains that excite the feds. Ain't a damn thing gonna change. I'm a performer, strange show, the mic warmer was born the game. Nas, why did you do it? You know you got the mad fat fluid when you rhyme. It's halftime.
This next segment is brought to you by DNVR. DNVR is Denver's largest digital sports network. With over 16 creators and community leaders, this is the place for you to get all of your sports news and entertainment. DNVR offers you a live video and audio show for every single team, every day, shot live, in studio, plus written content, merchandise, events, and of course, the Die Hard membership. With the Die Hard membership, you get a free shirt or hat of your choice every year. You get access to premium Die Hard level content, 20% off all merchandise, and of course, 20% off all of events. Not only will you get that, but you'll also get a Die Hard membership card and access to the DNVR Lounge, where diehards are the only ones allowed to hang. And then last but not least, diehard only merchandise, where you get stuff made specifically for your community. Once again, this is I nailed the read until the very end. That was almost a one-taker. That was good. DNVR, now back to South Stand's Denver Podcast.
Technical error here, John.
I don't know. That's all right. It worked out fine.
I think the one that we've always used is...
It's edited, isn't
it's
it?
I edited it.
Sports!
Yeah.
I'm playing it from, like, the normal one. Is, I don't know. Went bad.
Yeah, the one we have has always been... It's been a change. It's something I made it. I made it somehow.
I really should have gotten that screwdriver.
Fucking screwdriver. God damn it.
Went off.
Sports!
Sports, here we go.
We're back.
Yeah,
that was a great read, Brandon. Yeah. I mean, we were just talking. Man. We were just talking downstairs after we each urinated about.
Together.
You know, it's just a shame.
Same stall.
I held his. He held mine. It's just a shame that with all you're doing, and God knows we respect it, and we are in great admirers. That the fact that you're not behind a microphone anymore. It just really is a bummer.
Man.
It really is a bummer.
That, until you fucked up at the end, that was beautiful.
I'm going to make a suggestion. You take it in stride. You're a busy guy. For all city sports on a national level, the Brandon Spano podcast.
Talk sports?
No, why I understand you're like, "Oh, I'm so busy. I'm the man. I have to do this.
I have to
art of the deal all the time. I can't do a podcast. You have a great voice. You have a great presence. Everyone loved listening to you on the
best
radio
rants.
Before.
Best
why
rants.
Can't you just sit in and do a little
What the
fuck?
Yeah, do us a solid, man.
Stop denying all of us your dulcet tones.
I think that I first off, all of our shows are team specific, and the people that are on there, they cover that team. Like, it's all they do all day, every day. If I get on there, I just feel like I don't have, like, what am I doing there? Like, I can't go
different.
In and talk Nuggets Nuggets pod or Avs with the Avs
the
guys.
The one podcast that's not that. You're, do like a Jim Rome kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
somebody does
level.
One that's all the sports, right? He does one that's all the
we have, each market has a weekly, like kind of a Denver recap. Sports.
our show, Phoenix Sports Show.
I'm not even saying you crash that. We're saying you should have your own thing. Doesn't have to be fucking long.
I know, but then I got to have sports takes, and I got to, you know, and that means I got to know things, and I got to talk about the, you know, because then I have to have like real opinions, you know, and you know what the thing, you know, the thing that I don't miss about sports talk is having to force myself to have an opinion about something.
I understand.
And then you know what happens is like, then you know what happens? This thing happened at fucking 3 o'clock today and you're on air at 4 o'clock and then you have to have an opinion about it and you just riff on it for 30 minutes and then like you get more information tomorrow morning at 9 and you realize everything you said yesterday was bullshit. But then you have to back it up. And so then you're just being an absolute shithead for an entire week. Like, you know what I'm saying?
What you just said is the reason that I don't want to do that. And I entertained it recently because I'm at a crossroads where I've been doing what I've been doing for 25 fucking years. I'm kind of looking around. I got my head on a swivel and I'm in some classes. I'm going to tell a story real quick. I'm in some classes at ACC trying to finish my associate's degree. And
love that, by the way. Hey, let's go. Let's go. Hey, let's go. Hey,
give it up for education.
So in one of the classes, I had to find somebody whose job I want, interview them, ask them questions about how they got there, et cetera, et cetera. So I nominated the mayor of Denver. Haven't been able to get him on the phone, and part of the assignment is this interview. I haven't been able to get it done. So I switched horses midstream, and this was due a long time ago, but the professor gave me extra time because it was so lofty. Haven't been able to get Mayor Johnston on the phone. So I switched it up, went to Indeed.com and wrote it, sports talk radio. Boom. The program director job at the Fan comes up. I know the program director at the Fan is Raj Sharon. I know the guy. He's a friend of mine. He's in my phone. So I texted him, Raj, call me if you have time. So he called me. I was like, dude, why is your job on Indeed.com? He's like, oh, I left like 10 days ago. So
he's not there?
No, he left.
Oh, shit.
So Raj left. He's not there anymore. But I asked him to pretend that he was so that I could interview him, ask him how he got the job as the program director of the Fan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he agreed, did the interview for me, worked out perfect. I got a perfect score on. And then I fictitiously applied for, catered a resume and a cover letter, and fictitiously applied for the job and fictitiously interviewed for it. But
you did?
I did.
Oh, you should have fucking recorded that.
During this process, I
that
realized
been incredible
sports
post.
Talk radio has always appealed to me, but the idea of doing it every day. This is fun. Once a week. The idea of going into the studio and grinding away every day and talking about the same subjects and kicking the same dead fucking horse day after day does not appeal
that,
to me.
That is an elaborate thing. I just went to the jizz mopper at Kitty's, and he wouldn't even talk to me to interview for his job. But he would just was like, no, I ain't going to talk to you. But no, we talked to D-Mac about that, and D-Mac was like, yeah, some people think they can come in and they're once a week thing and do this. And he's like, but can you do it every day? And that That's is right. a grind, and I understand that.
That's right.
I'm not saying you do this every day, Brandon. I'm just saying, you know, maybe once a week. Have a little check-in.
The other thing is, like, I'm
State
really
of the Union.
Insert some rants, you know. Just some
other
good
thing
rants.
Is, like, I am, you know, and this is boring, but, like, I'm really fascinated by the business of sports and particularly media, you know.
Sure.
So I would love, like, if I were to do another podcast, like, I did a DNVR Biz podcast.
I remember that. You doing it.
And I loved doing that.
Like I said, I think the best one of those when you had your wife on, Lindsay.
I remember that podcast. Great. She's so amazing.
You could lift the curtain, right? Be like kind of what you've done. You kind of explain some of the things today.
Totally, totally.
You know what I mean?
Talk about some things that are going on. Yeah, in business. Like
I think
like
people
that.
Be in
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
You only did like 6 or 8 shows. I think I listened to all of those. It was short lived, but that was really good.
That was cool. Okay, that's good.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, the thing that I've been wanting to ask you about the most, either in person or in this case live on microphones. The when Denver Sports / 104.3 The Fan, which I just discussed, lifted your logo and basically tried to mimic your entire thing, which I thought was a beautiful thing, because after everybody rolled their eyes at you, here is the biggest station in town.
It's quite a compliment.
Quite a compliment. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. unless they just fucking straight up steal your logo. So how did that all work out? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of it that you can't really talk about, but give us some insight on what went down with that whole thing.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, first off, I think that, you know, when it comes to this business, I don't want to speak for all businesses, but it's probably universal. If there's someone that you believe, and I say it like that because we never, just for clarification, we never, and I mean never, do something because we think it beats somebody else. We never look at anyone in any city that we're in as a competitor and try to do something to take market share or something. We do not see, and
you're,
I don't.
You're creating something unique.
That's right. Your own.
We're
thing.
Creating something unique. We have a fan base that we're trying to serve, trying to bring the best people on this thing to fit inside of this model to serve them. And we're trying to do every single thing every day to make sure that that base is happy. And we don't look at anything else. And what happens is other people view that as a threat and they start acting super weird. And, you know, and what you can do in that situation is you can either say, we're going to be friends and get along with these people. Like, you know, like we have a really great relationship with Altitude, for example. And by the way, that radio station is doing a great job. We root for them all the time. There's no reason.
They mention DNVR all the time.
There's no reason for us to like, they're on the radio. We're digital. There's no reason for us to want Altitude to do bad. Why the fuck does that make sense? Right? Yeah. Like, if you listen to Altitude every morning because you love Vic, and now you listen because of DMAC, but you also love, you know, depending on the season.
What a
also,
coup for them, by the way.
Oh, it's incredible. Right. Incredible. Not only that, oh, don't even start. I mean, you should. It's not even DMAC. I mean, they got fucking Sean Brennan, who was probably the. Sean Brennan is arguably the best revenue generator in sports ever in Denver media. They got him from Bonneville. No one knows that. Altitude guy, Bonneville.
That's because he's a behind the scenes guy.
Bonneville let him go before they let DMAC go, right? Which, and this makes me, understanding the whole dilemma, you know.
I wonder why Raj left.
I'm not going to touch that one. But
keep going.
But so at the end of the day, like, you can either do that or you can just have this kind of full waged war, which is what radio stations do. Here's the thing, you guys. Radio stations, they've dominated market share from inception. For decades, they have owned everything in every community. They've never had to try. They've laughed at everything. Everything's been smaller than them in a joke. You know, they used to say, hey, don't be mad at the little dogs. It's the little dog's job to bark at the big dogs, right? All this stuff, right? Then when someone actually shows up and they are starting to, right? It's like, oh shit, like, these guys get more YouTube views. They have a bigger podcast. They're cool on social media. We're not. All this stuff's happening. They start freaking out. And it's like, this is the, I mean, we're getting, you know, we got sued in Philly for hiring Anthony Gargano from Beasley, which is like the Bonneville, except they're the East version of Bonneville. We obviously had this suit in Denver here with Bonneville. Denver in Phoenix, Bonneville is blocking as much as they can. We had a deal with BetMGM where had a podcast that was supposed to go live from BetMGM after Cardinals games, and it's on the territory where the Cardinals stadium is at. Bonneville has the rights to do live audio broadcasts from those grounds. They heard us that we were doing a show there. They forced Cardinals ownership to call MGM and block us from doing shows there. They also blocked our tailgate from happening there, right? We have
a
Odyssey.
Tailgate?
We also have Odyssey sending out corporate memos saying if you talk to All City, it's a breach of your contract. So we're getting we are getting as much pushback as we can from radio stations, and we're not trying to damage we don't give a shit, you know? Yeah. Anyway, so I say all that because this is like a hot topic for me. One of the things I'm super pissed off about. And here's the thing, like, you're all going out of fucking business and we can help. Like, I can fucking help you. You know, like, we don't have I don't have a problem helping or working with anybody.
All of your people are great guests to have on these shows.
They can be great guests. You can come on our stuff. We'll come on your stuff. We'll work together. Like, let's work together. Like,
let's serve the sports fan community.
Let's serve the fucking community. That's what it's about. But you know what? They don't see it like that. They see you as somebody that needs to be owned. Their talent needs to be owned. The fans need to be owned. The market share needs to be owned. The billboards need to be owned. Everything has to be owned. And that's why they're dying.
Is like the Denver Post
corporate owned, fucking hedge fund owned, same deal? Are they kind of in the same?
No, because those are the newspapers are so far down the alley now that they're like,
so they're even lower.
They're just like the newspapers are at a point where you have to root for them.
We need them to survive. Yeah.
As a human, like, it's not even, they're so far now on like the Cliffs spectrum where you have to say, like, you got to say, hey, man, like, you know,
you're in such bad shape. We actually have to pull you up a little bit.
Exactly. So. We got to help you out here. For that specifically, here's the thing about that. Like, you can do whatever you want. And they were taking our, they were taking our templates and our thumbnail designs and stuff. And there was always social media stuff, right? I mean, and they would get slammed for it on social, and it was on and on and on. And we never said anything. We didn't care. That's our whole thing. If you've noticed, like, we don't speak bad about anybody, right? I mean, it's MO, right? And you could go to any network. That is one of our things.
That's admirable.
That's one of our things.
I can't do that.
We do not beef. We don't talk shit. That's a rule. You're not allowed to fucking beef. Right. Leave that to them. They say whatever they want. We don't. Now, this one was different because we woke up.
It was your intellectual property.
We woke up one morning and they create this brand, and all of Twitter is like going insane, and they're tagging us, and people are saying I'm confused, and people are like,
I think I'm looking at your thing. Yeah,
exactly. So there's all of this. I'm like, okay.
I was one of them, by the way. I jumped right on that.
I'm at first thinking, like, is this a thing? And I think, like, and then Eric was like, this doesn't feel right. And then, like, as it got heated, and we started looking, and then we started seeing more responses, we were like, holy, yeah, this is. And then, let me tell you, for me, like, I think there was a different straw for everybody. For me, the straw that broke the camel's back was I searched DNVR Sports on YouTube, and their ad came up. They had a certain, which is to create a brand that looks like ours and then, advertise
keyword
under
it.
Our key. Yeah. Keyword it.
Usurp it.
Oh, I mean, they were done. They were done when they did that. Right now, here's the thing I can talk about this, right? Here's the thing that people don't get about us. I'll just say that. Here's the thing that people don't get about us.
Tread lightly if you need to.
Is that
that's right.
We spend a lot on trademark, right?
Sure.
I mean, we are dealing with, right? If you look at our merchandise, if you look at the way that we create things, we have to make sure that we aren't in violation of any trademarks with leagues, teams, players, right? And if you look at our stuff, you know, there are people like when I'm raising money, investors will say, like, how do you get it? And I'll be like, well, you know, I'll explain the process and tell them how we're not violating any laws and what our, you know, process and procedures look like. And we have, you know, it's incredible trademark attorneys. We spend more on that than anything else. And so when this radio station comes, now there you have this rich Mormon station that has their, you know, a lot of resources, and they have in-house counsel, and they are thinking, hey, you know, to us, and especially I'm looking at this, they're saying, we will disrespect this. We'll create a brand that looks exactly like this. We'll target their name. We don't give a shit.
We'll bully
right?
you.
We'll bully you, right? Your buddy Raj signs off on it. And then,
Your buddy. And then
they come at it, and then we show our trademark counsel, right? Who has dealt with NFL, NBA, XL, you name it, the city of Phoenix, right? And it's, we got this radio station, and we know based on their actions, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. We know, right? And guess what? It's on. It's on because this is the one thing we can't let slide. You cannot come over and then literally try to create a brand that looks like ours, confuse the marketplace, literally keyword us, and on top of all of that, your entire message is always negative. It's the exact opposite of ours. Our slogan is make it more fun to be a sports fan. Your entire identity is, if it's good, let me tell you why it's bad. If it's bad, let me tell you why it's good. That's your entire fucking operating procedure. You're gonna literally ruin our brand, okay? So now we go in, and then we go in heavy, and, you know, I can't say the rest. You guys obviously
see. It didn't take long.
You see the outcome. Well, we were extremely aggressive on it, right? And that's another thing, right?
These things can drag out for fucking years,
yes,
and it just,
no,
boom.
Let me tell you, these things can drag out for years when two massive corporations are fighting each other with a bunch of resources, and it doesn't matter, and they just fight forever. These things don't drag on for years when one guy is sitting there and pushing the pedal to the metal and, you know,
file, this is all public, right? In a 30-day span has over like 22 filings or whatever. And every single time the opposition misses their deadline, boom, the next thing goes and boom, the next thing goes. So then it's going to end quick, right? And it ended quick.
That's fantastic. I love that. Good stuff. We got to get in the fourth. It's a good way to end it. Well,
oh, by the way, hey, that was not. And I said this at the time, nothing against the people at, like, Darren, I've known, DMACC has been one of the biggest supportive people for me forever. Like, that was not, Zach Bye, I love Zach Bye, right?
Yeah, those guys great have no say.
I mean,
no
the talent at you know, 104.3 The Fan, like.
You've known Josh Dover forever.
I love Josh Dover, one of the hardest working guys ever, and he wasn't there during that time,
listen,
but still.
Colin's friends were the ones that pushed that through, not your friends. It's understandable. So, that's fantastic stuff, Spano. I'm glad I heard it from your mouth. So let's take a quick break, get in the fourth. Maybe we'll talk a little Broncos right after this. Like a threat, blow up your project, then take all your assets. Cause I came to shake the frame in half with the thoughts that bomb shit like math. So if you wanna try to flip, yo, flip on the next man. Cause I'll grab the clip and hit you with 16 shots and more. I got going to war with the melting pot. It's the Method Man for short, Mr. Map. Move it on your left. And set it off, get it off, let it off like a gat. I wanna break food, cop me back. Small change, they putting shame in the game. I take game and blow that nigga out the frame. And like bang. Sportique is where scooters come from and has been for over 25 years. And now, Sportique is also the place for e-bikes. E-bikes from ScootStar, genuine scooter company, and the Jackrabbit. The 20-mile-an-hour, 20-pound mini machine that fits comfortably in the trunk of your car. So, turn to Sportique for all your scooter needs, parts, service, accessories, and apparel, and now e-bikes. Visit SportiqueScooters.com or their expansive showroom at 160 South Broadway in the shadow of downtown. Sportique, where scooters come from. It's not always easy to stay on top of world news while you're trying to set up your fantasy team. That's why this is Headlines to Yardlines. A vehicle exploded on Wednesday on the Rainbow Bridge linking Canada to the United States, killing three and prompting authorities to close that border crossing. And you can count on Christian McCaffrey to blow up against the Seattle D on Thursday night. North Korea said it successfully placed its first spy satellite in orbit on Tuesday, defying condemnation from the U.S. and its allies. And you'll want to keep a close eye on Justin Jefferson's status heading into Week 12. According to the U.N. Office on Human Rights, more than 10,000 civilians have been killed in Ukraine since Russia invaded in February of 22. About half of the recent deaths occurred well behind the front line. Patrick Mahomes, on the other hand, has enjoyed a safe season behind his line, having suffered the fewest sacks of any quarterback who started every game. At least one person was killed and three injured on Monday in a shooting at a Walmart store in Beaver Creek, Ohio. Witnesses told media a man wildly opened fire with an assault rifle. But Zach Wilson will be unable to indiscriminately fire on Black Friday as the Jets have benched him in favor of Tim Boyle.
Oh my God.
At least one person has been killed and multiple others believed missing in a major landslide in southeast Alaska, state officials said on Tuesday. And on Sunday, you could count on the Broncos' improving defense to bury Broncos quarterback Dorian Thompson alive, making them a great streaming option. Israel on Monday released security camera footage showing Hamas gunmen who crossed into Israel chasing people, and one can be seen executing a woman at point-blank range. Also, you could blow your opponents away with Dallas Cowboys' stack against the inept Washington defense.
Nobody said you're going to get out of here unscathed.
I thought I did my own scathing, but Colin is scathing the worst of
myself. It brings to light the absurdity of fantasy sports. That's what I love about it.
Well, that's the whole thing. There's horrible shit going on, and I'm like, should I complain about not being able to put Justin Jefferson in?
Who am I going to pick up this week?
I'm like, I just try. Sometimes I just kind of lay out of Twitter because I'm like, there's too much crazy shit going on. I don't think I should be commenting on anything.
Dude, I got chopped in G1. I'm so bummed.
Oh,
I'm
did you?
So bummed. I got chopped this week. Mark Andrews. I had Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews screwed you. Yeah. Yep. But you're still going in G2, right?
And G3.
That's the guillotine league.
They're so great.
They're so good. It's a great way to play fantasy football. We're gonna talk Broncos. I wanna get noted Chiefs fan Brandon Spano's view on this Chiefs. What are you looking around for? Is this? Come on, everybody knows you're a noted Chiefs fan.
Do people not know this? True.
Are you not a sports? Are you not a? Are you one of those sports atheists now?
That's a great question.
I'm sports
agnostic.
Not really, no, because I do.
I mean, you obviously support the Denver teams.
Yeah, I do. When
the Broncos played the Chiefs a little bit ago, who were you rooting for?
That was
for?
A great win for the, you well, know.
Of course, I mean, but who were you rooting for? Win.
That's a tough.
No, it's not. It's not tough. Who were you rooting for?
We know the answer. It's fine. I'm not rooting against the.
Here's what I say. I'm not a great sports fan. I'm really not. Right. Like, this isn't as clear of an indication as you think. I'm not a great sports fan. Okay. I'm generally always rooting for the All City team, no matter what. The Nuggets and Suns in the playoffs was brutal for me. I wanted to just wake up and have it over.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I mean, it was good, but it was like not good. You know, there was like infighting and like community talking shit to each other. And like my wife got dragged for a joke by Suns fans. And then our head of content in Phoenix got dragged by Nuggets fans. And it was fucking terrible. But other than that, I'm really for, you know, I would say I'm a capitalist sports fan and I happen to run a sports network.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I was going to say, one of my things I had was, I know there was somebody in Phoenix said something kind of snide about the Nuggets and a bunch of people freaked out. Does that happen more often than not? And then are you basically, cause like, so like, I think D-Line was like, oh, that's my friend. It's all cool. It's cool. Whatever. And obviously you have relationships with these guys, you know them, but when somebody says something that's like, maybe it's not even like it's crossing the line. It's just kind of like, you know, it's going to get people riled up. Do you kind of cringe like, here we go. We're going to fucking get all these people fighting, because obviously fans are going to be against each other, but you kind of want all those people to get along, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. And I think that there is a commonality for them. Our networks are fine with each other. They really are. You know, it's definitely the fans is what you worry about. And fans are so emotional. They will take any opportunity to make something a big deal. And like, so that like Nuggets fans will try to get like a Suns guy fired. Like they'll DM me and be like, this is what you condone. This is the kind of jokes you think are acceptable. This is the kind of people you hire. Like, this is disgusting. Like, I'll never fucking watch a Nuggets show again unless you fire this guy, you know?
Wow.
Like that was one DM, right? Right. So I'm not saying like, I just use that as an example, right?
It's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
That was a real thing that took place, right? Yeah, of a thing.
Who
right?
did they want fired?
So
I remember. I remember the guy who did it. You said his name earlier. I can't think of his name.
Right.
Yeah, he said something, and
that's exactly right.
It was a very.
I actually got multiple of those. There was one guy in particular who said, and I mean that show reaches like hundreds of thousands of people every month. So, like I'm mentioning one crazy guy, but like that's the kind of stuff from sports fans.
Yeah,
that's the kind of blowback you can get.
Yeah, because you're in the unfortunate position where someone's like, I'm a DNVR fan. How can you allow this? You're paying this guy.
That's exactly right. Or what some people will think, they don't understand the model. They don't understand that there's like financing in different buckets for every single network. And so they'll say like, oh, just so you know, you're supporting DNVR. You're paying for this. And then post this thing from, you know, the Suns account that is like that's like anti-Nuggets or something, you know, and then like that thing will actually, someone posted a thing like that, it actually got like a decent number of like you know, likes and retweets. And sure. I was like, fuck, like this isn't, that's not how I wanted to jump in. A lot of times I'll want to jump in and like say like, hey, that's not how it works. It works like this and this. But you know, if I did that all the time, whenever someone critiqued, you know,
that'd be your full time
job. That's all I would do is live online and do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because, you know, then like somebody, you know, the Avs are playing the Blackhawks and, you know, somebody from Chicago says something snide about, you know, whoever, Nathan MacKinnon. Nathan MacKinnon's a big baby that fucking slams a stick down when the things aren't going right, whatever. And then people freak out. Oh, how are you guys? And it's like, hey, look, everybody's got their own opinion, right? You got it. It's the whole thing. You're going to have to suffer through other people's opinions. It sucks sometimes. The unfortunate thing for you is then you're all under the same umbrella. So,
right. Right. Yeah. So
it's a lot of fun, Brandon. It sounds like a great time.
For the most part, you know, 99% of the time, it's great. You know, you get in those times where it's heated, especially like playoffs. And then, it can become.
Sports fans, as you know, are very emotional. They get fired up. It's fine.
I think one of the things that people don't necessarily understand, and this is even internal inside of our own company a lot of times, is that, you know, they will expect me to have, they will identify me as the person, you know, in front of their sports network. And it's obviously the, you know, that's the heaviest in Denver. And so I'm supposed to have like a Denver slant to this particular person. This is supposed to be the most important to me. I'm supposed to be the most prideful about this. And it couldn't be, you know, more further from the truth, right? I have, if any of these are a failure,
this is market 18. Yeah. Sorry folks.
Right. Like, I mean, well, it's not that right. But I mean, I love Denver and I love Denver as a city, but, and I love our team and this is where it all started. And there's so much that's important about that. But at the end of the day, like if one of these fails, like that's a really big deal. And sure. And like they can't, right? And like my job is to look over at this point four local networks and a national network. I have five and these things all have to work. And you know, there is no like one more than the other proud. No, like they all have different stories. Some have different strengths and weaknesses. We have to fix the weaknesses in each one. You know, I mean, they're all different.
So that being said, How do you manage expansion knowing that each and every market is going to require this fine tuning? I mean, if you expand too fast, you've got to be worried that you're going to water the product down and it's not going to be good, and that's going to cause the whole fucking house.
And at the same time, you just got some money from Andre Iguodala's group. If we could talk about that. A lot of money, right, to expand and go quicker. And in the meantime, people could take your model and be putting something together in New York, in LA, in Seattle, and get there before you do it. So,
they can
how do you balance
this? Yeah, they can try.
I don't agree that it waters it down because every city is its own thing.
Correct.
But if you go into cities too rapidly don't do a good job
of
and
course.
Get the right
but
people,
that's with everything.
Then it waters it down.
But I'm just saying, if you're like, hey, let's go to Oklahoma City, and it's kind of like, that's not really going to work. But
It's no different than if you own a restaurant chain and you're looking for more markets to expand in. If you don't make sure the product is of the highest quality, you don't make sure you get the best people, then it knocks the reputation of every other restaurant you have in every other city.
It does. It does. And like, I think there's different phases. It's really interesting because the things that are important to us now, we didn't maybe even know about, you know, 2 years ago, and the things that were important to us 2 years ago, we look at now as just a standard, you know, part of the operation that anybody should know or something like that. And so I think like, you know, what happens is you grow and then you kind of get to this tipping point where you're like, oh, holy shit, this is a lot. We got to slow down a second here. And, you know, cause I'm always pushing. I'm pushing.
That's what Adam said.
And if anyone slows down, I'm generally not going to be receptive to slowing things down. You know, I want to make sure I get it right, but I'm not going to talk just to talk and do meetings just to
move fast and break things.
So, you know, and here's the thing is at the end of the day, the fact is you're never going to have a perfect launch. You're never going to have a perfect platform. You're never going to have something that has no problems. So get it right. Get it as much as you can. Keep trying to get better and better each time. Fucking launch the thing, right? Get it open. Get the fucking people. You know the deal. And then, like, let's go and we'll fix some things Let me just say this. Like, with that said, there does get to a point where you, like you said, you kind of overextend based on the team you have. And you say, okay, you have to know as the leader at that time, hey, listen, like, we can't keep pushing right now. We've got to, right? I call it build and fix. Build and fix, build and fix, build and fix, build and fix, build and fix. And sometimes that means build, 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 and then fix, 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 fix. Oh, we're all fixed. Okay, time to build. You know, and like, so right now we've launched two networks in the last, you know, 75 days. And, you know, now it's time to fix, right? And so we have some things where we would need to get better at, you know, programmatic. There's some, like, you know, all kind of odds and ends stuff, right? And we're going to go in and get better there. And, you know, there's post-sale stuff in the sales side. There's all kinds of little business things that people don't really know about. And we have to get better in these areas. There's certain markets that need help in certain departments. And once we get all that fixed and we feel like, hey, we're all running, this thing's rolling. Okay, now let's take this application. Let's open the next one even smarter and better, you know? And so right now what you'll see is like, we won't open another thing. You're not going to see that for the next, you know, however many months, right? And we're going to lock down here as a team and fix this and get this right to where everyone feels confident in the way that we're
going. Not unlike Sean Payton.
Did you, and this isn't like a criticism of what you were when you were like 29 years old, but did you like watch a Tony Robbins thing or something? And all of a sudden you were like, I see the light. I know what to do. What kind of changed for you where you all of a sudden you were like, I think I see a path forward. I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I answered kind of this question a little bit on Twitter, and then I ended up feeling bad for it because, you know, you can never, I'll tell you why, but, you know, because there's so little context you're able to provide on Twitter.
Sure.
Right? And so I know that if people read it, they were like,
this all started as the Brandon Spano Network.
Yeah, exactly. But I did early on, there was a point in 2014 where I was having these visions. And I just kept seeing this, and I launched, I don't know if you guys remember, but I launched like in 2012, 2013, like kind of a soft launch of the Brandon Spano Network with kind of a, you know, there was like two writers and I had a female co-host on the show.
I remember
she was
sure.
Doing
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I remember,
you know,
that.
And it was
yeah.
trying to, okay. I was feeling my way through. Okay. What's this going to look like? And we weren't really sure. And, but I would work all night. Even back then. Right. That's the one thing about me. I've always had a really unhealthy relationship with this career. Right. And then eventually, you know, kind of fast forward, I felt like, okay, I think like I have this model down. And it was really this kind of mixture of like, you know, SB Nation. The original thought is like SB Nation has these team communities online. They're crushing it. Every time I would like build my shows or even the shows I had, you know, someone else on, because I owned all this commercial inventory by the time I launched BS in Denver. Not a lot of people know that. But the SB Nation sites would always come up first. They'd fucking like beat the Denver Post. And I would be like, dude, how is like Mile High Broncos beat? You know? You'd look into it and like the people that were writing the stories lived in other cities and they were getting paid by t-shirts. And like, you're like, what the fuck, you know? And then I was like, why don't they just have like real reporters on a site that's clean and SEO friendly? And you have these team communities and they're like real. And so we kind of put together the original team and, you know, Ryan like from day one started working like 24 hours a day with me. And then really he kind of nailed that vision. I think our first like exclusive interview ever was the defensive coordinator of the Buffs, and he did it in the Boulder Creek. And I was like, this is what I'm talking like.
Sure.
This is that crossover from like the credentialed reporter that also cares and is like serving the fans in like a fun way. Right. And boom. And it was off to the races. Right. And we just kind of, you know, came together but yeah, I mean, so that's like the scope on it.
so we get we're
and then a million, you know, and then so many people come, right?
Sure.
Because like, and that's why you feel bad, because it starts with my vision, and it's like, but then like, so, right? Because what happens is you want to get. You get better and better, and then, you know, the people build this with you, and it's their blood, sweat, and tears. And then, you know, and then like you eventually bring on Eric, and he gives you a brand, and he launches merch. And then, you know, you bring on Adam, and he has this vision for like video shows, and you have we finally have the Nuggets community, which we never had before. And then, you know, each time, you know, then you get a bar.
The Nuggets community.
Right.
I don't know if you've been exposed to this information before or not, but Adam Mares came here. We sat here at this table before he came on board with you, and he just wanted to know what I thought. I was like, dude, Brandon's a fucking force of nature. Do it. So he asked my – that's so, the God's honest truth.
Thank you, Colin.
Well, I tried to get Adam. I think that was my third time. I think I had failed each year before basketball season. I would try to get Adam. And then this time, I think we had enough like firepower and kind of understanding what we're trying to do.
How do you retain the talent? You're getting this talent in. What's the secret in retaining them? Is it a part ownership, or how do you manage that?
You know, it's different as the company matures. You know, what it took in the beginning is different than what it takes now. And I think the level of it, you know, Denver's really unique where, you know, you could say essentially we have all of the most important, you know, reporters and, you know, communicators and entertainers in sports online, right? Like yeah. Maybe we don't have, like, maybe Kliss is the most important guy for terrestrial television or something, right?
For polishing turds for the Broncos.
Like, you know, and Vic Lombardi, for example, is still like an icon, right?
Absolutely.
And a guy I talked to all the time and you know, would have a place at DMVR easily, right? But like outside of that, you get the idea, right? And but that's different because this was grown by the community, right? Like mm-hmm. Zach Stevens had like 200 followers when we hired him. Harrison Wynn had like, you know, 500 or something, right? And these are guys, they probably have a combined, what do they have, 100,000 followers combined or something, right? They're the guys, they're the reporters on those beats. So a little different in the other markets. You go in and you're trying to get really the top guys kind of from day one. And, the big thing right now is that, the barrier to entry is gone. There's no threshold. Cause if you are working at the top station, if you're working at Odyssey, for example, and I come over and talk to you and you have let's say your contract, Dave, ends in a couple months and you're like, yeah, this is actually perfect timing. Well, you know that Odyssey just got delisted from the stock market and they just had their last cutoff and their layoff group in Q2 and you made the cut and like this is a good chance for you to get the fuck out of that. You know, if you're working at NBC or some RSN, right. Then you're saying, you know, you're again, like you're trying to have and we're targeting people that are really good digital creators. They have big followings. They're communicative online. They treat the fan a certain way. These people want to create more content. They want to be more robust. They want to do video and audio and, you know, have more of a creators. You know, freedom.
That's what happened for DMAC as soon as he left the nest.
Yeah.
Now he's on Instagram. He's on that's YouTube. Right, that's right. He's pumping out stuff. He's sitting with Vic Lombardi, which is what I knew he was going
to. So when you talk to these people, yeah, I mean, it's almost instantaneous. Like this is what's next. And they will, you know, you can essentially, you know, and listen, you got to pay good. You got to, you know, it's all that stuff, right? Like we have, you know, obviously give good salaries, health insurance. You have the whole thing. You got to set
that
up.
Good job.
So in the beginning,
I mean, that's the basics, right?
You had to find diamond in the rough. And now you just harvest diamonds.
He's a diamond harvester.
Yeah,
hey, look, Brandon, whenever you come in, we sit here all night. We can go on and on. And I want to leave them wanting a little more. And I've got a couple more things. I'm sure you do, too. The one thing is, and we're not even getting into the Broncos tonight because we don't have time. But how has this little Broncos run where they've gotten back into relevance? How much is everybody over there celebrate? How much is Ryan just like, oh my God, thank God this happens? Because now we can, instead of doom and gloom, now we got something good to talk about. Is this just like a bonus for everyone, or we just kept going, you know, business as usual?
You know, I think that it's first, I would say that I'm not the best person. I'm not the most qualified to give you the temperature gauge on a certain, you know, but I am in Denver, so this one's a little easier for
me. I've been
but
in your bar listen, during
listen,
these games.
So listen, because the Broncos, the way this. They started, bad, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they kind of got their shit together. With the Rockies, and I feel so sorry for all your Rockies people because they have to cover this shitty team, and it's never going to get good for them. But the Broncos, you're like, God damn, the Broncos. Shit. And all of a sudden they start getting good, right? And it's nice because
it is.
Yeah, it's good because you got content.
And the audience is way up, you know, and obviously, the tailgates have been packed. The bar is packed during Broncos games. All that stuff you can obviously feel, and it's much more fun to create around that. I also, listen, these guys have been around the team a lot too. I think they're still, everyone's a little hesitant still to jump fully on and go like full, just to go full fanboy on
as
it.
I'm still nervous.
Wins are wins. As long as they're winning, there's good things to talk about. There's no doom and gloom. I'm just saying, it's better to have a winning team. There's things to talk about if it's a losing team, but
they're in second place.
I just thought, when we were like going to do this again, and I said, this is going to be great. The Broncos are going to be better. We'll come back. We'll do a thing for the Broncos season. And then they sucked. And I was like, God damn it. I go, this sucks. Cause now we can't really talk about the Broncos because they're awful. Suddenly they're good. We got stuff to talk about. You guys got stuff to talk
about. I don't
really
know if they're good or not, but it's no longer silly.
It's better.
It's no longer silly to talk playoffs.
It's better than it's been in years.
They are in when they show those charts on the networks where they're like locked in the hunt. There's a little Broncos logo over there. In the hunt. They're in the hunt.
Hit Brandon up with what you got, and then we're going to release him into the wild.
I don't have a whole lot. I just wanted to ask you guys if you heard the new Judas Priest album.
No. What's it called?
I don't remember.
We knocked out all of your talking points there?
We knocked it out.
Okay.
He had something about a DNVR, like, sexy calendar shoot, but I told him, don't fucking ask about that. I go, he's not going to want to talk about that. That might be in the works.
Totally off
topic. I know. I heard two things today that you guys got to hear. Dolly Parton's got a new album of rock and roll covers.
Yeah, I saw
which
something
will
about that.
Make your ears bleed. It's okay. Absolutely fucking terrible. It is the worst thing I've ever heard. She's got she does a Journey song. She's got a duet with Peter Frampton. I mean, it's murder.
That makes me sad.
It's absolutely terrible.
Fine, she can do what she wants.
Also, there's a new South Stands Denver Instagram account. I've been posting it kind of on my personal account, SouthStands303. I created a new one, SouthStands.
That's not
Denver.
Constantly complaining about the homeless
that's
people.
Not dealing with anything but this show.
Good.
So, and that is an RSS feed on our new website. So check that out too. The new website's sweet. Really, really dope. And SouthStandsDenver.com. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Let's get out of here. Brandon, we could talk to you all night, and literally
we could go till like 12.
Oh yeah, it was gonna go.
Yeah,
that.
You didn't. Scott was supposed to hit me on the fundraising. You didn't. I got out scot free on that. Scot free.
That's right.
That was good.
Right.
That was good.
Well, here's to more fundraising. I hope you guys can get as much money as you need.
It's not coming completely scot free.
I hope Bill Romanowski gives you another couple million.
We got something here at the end, like we always do.
Here we go. So, but hey, Brandon, listen, always a pleasure. It's been a while. It's nice to see you. I think I bumped into you at one point. Oh, I was going to talk to you about conspiracy theory. We mentioned conspiracy theories. I dropped that book off.
Aliens.
You got the book. You got the Ancient Aliens book.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Yes. An absolute world classic.
Von Doniken, Chariots of the Gods, whatever it is.
Absolute legend.
It's good stuff. So.
Hey, listen,
legend.
Fellas, it's Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah.
It's Thanksgiving season.
Right.
I want to tell you I am thankful for all of you. I'm thankful to each of you. I'm glad we got this thing started back up again.
Absolutely.
It means the world to me and I'm having a great time.
Brandon, all the best, all the success to you guys. You guys do a great job. Everyone there is wonderful, and I hope everything just keeps on rocking and rolling, and we'll be there to support
you. Are
you
a Graham Hancock thumbs up or thumbs down?
On
Graham Hancock.
What's Graham?
You don't know Graham Hancock?
He's the Ancient Aliens guy.
Well,
right?
No, not Ancient Aliens. He's he believes in the prior advanced civilization. So he's a polarizing guy in this world.
Well,
I thought since you gave me the Ancient Aliens,
I've laid out of the conspiracy Ancient Aliens thing lately, and I'll explain why after we're off mic. But I haven't. followed as closely as I have in the past. So
the next thing is the AI taking over the world.
Oh yeah, well we've seen Terminator. We've seen Terminator, right? We've all seen it. So it happens. Brandon, again, thanks for coming in. Appreciate your
time. Thanks so much, guys.
It's awesome. DNVR folks, I mean, you know where it is. You know where the bar is. You know where the website is. You can find all those guys on there. They're excellent. So good stuff. Until next time, this has been the South Stands Denver Fancast.
Adios. We love you, Denver. Hey,
Brandon's gonna take us.
Hey, hey, you guys gonna we gonna sing this all? Let's go. You guys jumping in on this? We all going to? You jumping in, Colin? The fact that I was singing this at like 10 o'clock at night was like ridiculous, right?
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those cats were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with extra timing. There was Funky Chinaman in Funky Chinatown.
Could you make this song now? No, there's no way.
It's an ancient challenge.